is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Out for your just desserts, it's not just the words. Some of y'all heads up in the cloud, I'ma bring y'all back to earth. It's black back to burn all talking about. Out your mouth, I'm not concerned, cause y'all got to learn. It's y'all turned like Detroit Red when his head had an ultra perm. The long walk to burn your bare heels, so throw on your boots. The game camouflage like army suits, but I can see it more clear cause I came with the coupe in here. Ring the alarm, inform the troops, send them out into the world, go to war on the fluke. Eye to eye with the enemy you sworn to shoot. Now I'm coming at your neck, sick of hearing something wrong with me, wrong with you. When the cheek just way too smart to question. The enemy, the brothers of a dark complexion. The governments of the world, the shark infested. They heavy on weaponry like Charlton Heston, man. Look, it gets low here. Yeah. No, no, I'm talking about.
So what you gonna do?
It's my favorite mutant. Yeah,
ain't I'm right on with you. Your logic does not compute.
Come on.
Talking Heads with Naughty is sponsored by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, Island Wholesale, John's Department Store, J.S. Johnson, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the Wednesday, November 16th edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. on this Wednesday, Hump Day edition. And we'll get over the Hump Day together. And you know, like we do each and every Wednesday, open lines, open text. We got lots to talk about. Thank you, Mr. Producer. We good today, Mr. Producer, or are you in violation again today? Man, I was hoping we'd have been in violation, just you would have doubled it up. That's all, double up the order. But anyhow, I digress. All right, so here's the deal, man. Lots to talk about today. And you know how to chime in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Phone lines are open. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on. All right, I got your trivia lined up for you right now. Playing for Joker's Wild Party passes. All right, so that's definitely a good look because that's a great show over there. Headliner Kenny Smith, featured comedian Stephen Henry, and yours truly. Funny show from start to finish, and it is 2-for-1 on all locals, so definitely take advantage of that. Tuesday through Sunday is Showtime. Doors open at 8. Showtime is at 9. We're located between the car and the beach tower over there at the beautiful Atlantis. And don't forget, like I said, it is 2-for-1 on all locals. So take advantage of that. Now, that we got all of that out of the way, let me hit you up with your trivia. Get your thinking caps on. And, of course, you're playing for our Dunkin' Donuts coupons as well. So you're going to get your laugh on a joke as well, and you're going to run on Dunkin' once you get the answer right. Okay? All right. Now, boy, look here. I got one for you. Mr. Producer, I got one for y'all Dolphin fans today. All right? Here we go. Here we go. You ready? Where is a dolphin's belly button located? Second part to the question, where are female dolphins' nipples located? Where do they breastfeed from? Two questions. Where's a dolphin's belly button located? All right? And where do baby dolphins nurse from? Where are female dolphins' nipples located? There you go. Between now and top of the news, 5 o'clock hour to get your answers in. You think I'm playing with you today? No. I like to entertain and educate all at the same time. I'm like, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Let me guess. That's the program director calling. Wow. Erica, stop it. Okay. So while you work on the question, I'll work on the headlines brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. And be sure to check Fine Threads out both locations, Top of Hill Mackey Street and the Southwest Shopping Plaza. New arrivals in stock at both locations. So check them out. Both locations as well open for you Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sorry about that. Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check them out online, finethreads.com. And, of course, you can do your shopping online as well and then arrange for pickup at any one of those convenient Fine Thread locations. Let's jump on in with the headliners. FTX founder wants to make customers whole. Well, hey, SBF, let me tell you something. The customers want you to make them whole. You know? My one goal is to do right by the customers. Well, go ahead and do right by the customers, sir. Story by Travis Cartwright Carroll. Former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, whose multi-billion dollar crypto empire crumbled in the span of days, said yesterday he is committed to making his customers whole. My one goal is to do right by customers, Bankman-Fried tweeted. Some other weird tweets going on with him the other day, too. Did you see that? Just the one-word tweets and one-letter tweets and straight down and, yep. So, at the end of the day, go ahead and make them whole, Mr. Fried. Don't talk about it. Be about it. But the web gets thicker and thicker and thicker and larger and larger and larger with this. And still getting rung off in the headlines, the Bahamas brand getting slapped up with this. And don't give me the semantics and the posturing and the spinning from you politicos in the various chat groups and online. And no, at the end of the day, we should have done more due diligence, despite what the world was telling us, because there were red flags, to make sure that we didn't end up in this predicament. Far too long, we have less than savory, you know, very unsavory characters come here and set up shop. Because of the hue of their skin and the necktie they're wearing and the briefcase they're toting that gives the appearance that they have money, they get carte blanche to rape and pillage the Bahamas and then leave us in a wake, stuck holding the bill to deal with damage control and fallout and the like. And how long are we going to continue to make this part of the fabric that is Bahamiana? Or the Bahamas. Let's look back at who we've had here over the years. Robert Vesco, Joe Leader, the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Harachi, Peter Nygaard, the Wisefish brothers, Victor Cosney, the Pirate of Prague. And let's go. Now we got you, sir, Mr. SBF. You're on that list now, buddy. And you would have had some good spotlight, but you know what? Billy McFarlane could not be outdone. The king of lost causes. You tell him a project gonna fail, he'll pump another $10 million into it. And you know what I found really, you know, disingenuous and about the whole thing with McFarlane? I wanna pay back Bahamians. Yeah, well, guess what? Pay them back from where you are. And I saw some stuff floating around today that some of the folks that got burned at Fyre Festival got their money back and they forgive Billy. Yeah, you forgive Billy, I get you. You all probably want to make some of the money off the documentary and other promotions coming up too, hey. Because once again, Bahamians will sell out Bahamians for a quick buck. I said it, because that's what we do. from the top to the bottom and everywhere in between. That's what we do. We put up a good fight. Oh, I'm pro-Bahamian. But no, if you can make up a dollar, you can turn a blind eye, and if other Bahamians are affected by it in a negative way, so what? Your pockets got lined. There's no way that any of y'all who are trying to entertain the return of Billy McFarland to this country, you have no leg to stand on. You are trying to defend the indefensible. And McFarland, if you want to make right, do it from the United States. Wire the money. Set up a bank account. Make sure the people get paid. Or if you really want to do it old school, Cash and Go, MoneyGram, Western Union, any one of them. PayPal, Venmo, work it out from over there. You do not need to bring your disingenuous caucus back here because you're an opportunist. You now want to make the millions that you lost on Fyre Festival off the Bleeding Heart documentary and the TikTok promotion. Well, you know what? Take it to another island outside of this archipelago. All right? Why are we such a continuous fraud magnet? Why? Look at us over the years. We are a fraud magnet. We magnetize the fraudulent figures. Let's check the phone lines. I mean the text lines. Naughty, great show as usual. Naughty, we Bahamians, we only care. Okay, we only care where a woman's... Okay, never mind. I get it. You don't care about the dolphins? Okay, that's fine. We don't have to go there. Anyway. Under the side fin. No. No, not under the side fin, neither. Oh, that's true, Naughty. We sell our souls for money. Sometimes it's sad. We are saying that we have to be careful about what catastrophe like this portrays to the investing world, in my opinion. We did not dig hard enough, especially a potential investment of this size in the billions. They also need to add to the regulations to ensure most of the loopholes in investment like this and in the Fyre Festival does not happen anymore or is harder to do in this little country. Good point, said Texas. Naughty, the only thing we need to tell Billy is run me my money. I gonna need that little thing. That's it. Run me the money. Send me the money. Fax me the money. Western Union me the money. I need my little thing. But stay your fraudulent behind right where you are. Hey, Naughty, looks like FTX ain't paid a QuickBooks subscription. And Houdini was the accountant. Oh, Lord. Well, there we have it. I mean, hey, cheers for the test. And I know we got C. Allen getting ready to chime in. Do you see C. Allen on the Zoom there, Waldorf? So I know we got C. Allen tomorrow. I think C. Allen's supposed to chime in tomorrow. As a matter of fact. Is he there now? No, right? No, tomorrow's C. Allen. Yeah, we got C. Allen tomorrow. But sources are saying that FTX luxury housing apartments in the Albany complex were purchased with a 50% FTT / 50% FTX stock. Whoa! The plot thickens. Naughty, don't worry. Them Exuma people could beat Naughty if he... not Naughty. It could beat Billy Bad if he come back. C. Allen's on tomorrow. I think, yeah. He's on now? All right, we'll let him come on now, man. If C. Allen's here now, we'll let him chime in a second. Just let me get through this, and we'll take the break. And on the flip side of the break, we'll jump in with C. Allen. All right? A couple other headlines going on. Cooper confident in local regulators as FTX fallout reverberates. We've pivoted in financial services many times, and I expect that we're going to do likewise in the digital assets business. That's Mr. Chester Cooper, the DPM. Securities Commission's working with other regulators on urgent FTX matters. You can read more on that. Story by Chester Robards. And another strike in our headline today, more than 80 mentally ill inmates at the prison. Wow. Now, that speaks volumes. shouldn't they have a whole separate area for those individuals as part of Sandilands or some portion of it? You can't expect them to any have a chance at even close to being rehabilitated without the special care that they need to deal with their mental issues, with their mental illness. And if we're going to be humane, then we need to look at that. Let them serve their time, but get them the help they need. And they shouldn't be in general population. They should have their own wing, and they should be given the assistance, whether it's medical or counseling or both or medicinal, that they need. And my God, if you can let a foreigner who had a gun charge get away because of a diabetic problem and not being able to monitor it on his cell phone, then Bahamians who have mental illness in prison should be dealt with accordingly and given the help they need. Once again, good for others, but not for us. Fourth-class citizens in our own home. Ridiculous. Slide into the buzz real quick. All brought to you, of course, by John's Shoes. And John's reminds you they now have small home appliances and cookware to go along with all your footwear needs, your fast fashions, your workwear, and all of the accessories to go along with that. They, like I said, now they got small home appliances and cookware, both locations. John's Plaza Carmichael and the flagship store there over on Rosetta. Be sure to check them out today. And remember, John, serving you is a pleasure. Naughty, the PRP would mess this country up and kick the can down the road for years. When a new administration comes to office, they would have no choice but to tax. The PRPs would carry on like savages complaining that people are being taxed, but they're the creator of the problem and the tax. Naughty, the job of parliamentarians and the government parties is to ensure that regulations are relevant, up-to-date, and enforced. It's one of their primary responsibilities as parliamentarians. And those persons who are put in position to monitor the Bahamian people's best interests and getting paid to do so should be held accountable and responsible when fiascos like this happen. Just an opinion. It's not the first time, but should it even be more reoccurring with sizable investments like this? And it's true. We've had the ball being dropped like this before. So let's take a quick break. Flip side of the break, we got C. Allen chiming in. Let's chop it up with him. We'll take it up to the news in the 5 o'clock hour with C. Allen. I'll let him slide through on a Dunkin' on his coffee break. As we go to break, don't forget our KFC Bites are back, and you definitely want them, all right? 11 herbs and spices, the Colonel's original recipe with your choices of sauce. Mango habanero, buffalo, barbecue, honey mustard, ranch, KFC sauce. The secret sauce, all good. Grab it at your favorite KFC location today where the drive-thrus are opening and frying until midnight. And if you upgrade it, all right, and you go mega, you got a shot at getting into the metaverse and winning yourself a headset. Yeah, courtesy of KFC Nassau. So get on in to your favorite KFC Nassau location. Love yourself. Grab you some chicken. Fill out the coupons. Upgrade your deal. Fill out your coupons. And who knows? We might see in the metaverse, courtesy of KFC Nassau. All right? We'll talk more on the flip side of the break as the Wednesday, November 15th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Style with elegant taste, the fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, the fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look great, the fine threads is your place. The fine style with elegant taste, the fine threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
Burger King wants you to ride into the holidays in style with a brand new 2022 BYD Han all-electric sedan from Easy Car Sales. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just upgrade your favorite combo for one ticket or double your chances with a King combo or triple your chance to win with the purchase of a BK family deal. It's electric at Burger King this holiday where you get the chance to win a 2022 BYD Han EV sedan when you upgrade your combo at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you.
you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You get cash in your pocket.
Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we put in Bahamian's voice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what the
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's go to Freeport. I got C. Allen Johnson checking in with me, man, today. And C. Allen, what's good, my brother?
Just hanging in. They're just on Grand Bahama by Abaco Extension, still waiting to hear. You know, we've been drowned out again by another incident.
Listen, man, listen. You know, I do my best every Monday and Tuesday to get the word out for Abaco and for Grand Bahama. We'll do it again next week.
You know,
I do, right? But
yes.
I need you today, man. I need you to be the FTX whisperer that you are. You know, Cesar Milani whispers to dogs and gets them in shape. I need you to whisper to the FTX people in the government. Let's get them in shape, man. And let's figure this out. Because daily, hourly, by the minute, the Bahamas brand continues to get destroyed on social media globally. Now, news outlets globally are taking this story, and it is the hot topic. And guess what's all the narrative that's tied up in there? Somewhere intertwined, you hear the word Bahamas.
No, it's not
and it's not the publicity that we need. But
right. But
where are we right now? You have allegations and rumors and innuendos swirling from the United States based portion of FTX. You have now rumors and innuendos and swirling from the FTX Bahamas based portion. Where are we at?
What we have is we have the Bahamians stirring the pot. Let's use an example where you have FTX Digital, what was it, FTM, whatever, the Bahamas version, basically was put into liquidation. Then we first must remember that FTX Global went to the U.S. and filed for liquidation, eventually joined in by FTX USA. Now we had liquidation in the Bahamas with this version of the Bahamas that's here. Digital markets, FTX, FTM, FTX digital markets in the Bahamas. Now, what has happened now is that the Bahamas, and so we put them in liquidations. Now, subsequently, after these incidents of monies leaving the Bahamian accounts, understand this is not just Bahamians. This was anybody who had an account on FTX digital markets from the Bahamas. Now you have the government of the Bahamas, or no, the regulatory or whoever, the trustee is now claiming that they didn't have a right seemingly to file for the digital markets, for FTX digital markets limited in the Bahamas in the US. But somehow the story is not give clarity, because they are now claiming they have a right for FTX and all of its FTX Global and all of its assets. The problem is FTX Global is not in the Bahamas. That's what has me confused. Nor is this grouping of companies. The scary part of this is, understand this, the Bahamas regulation, their regulation, do not possess the authority to regulate business in other jurisdiction. So by making this claim, like say if you're claiming global and they violated the law in Singapore and all these other countries where they were not supposed to be operating, it's almost as if they're demanding that we have the authority and we give them consent, basically by having a license here, to violate the law in these dozens of countries. It's a very crazy argument we're making, because we had FTX Digital Market. Now, the problem is that even though FTX Digital Markets was here and all of these 137 companies so far that's listed in the bankruptcy, I think, but based on information in the marketplace, it's closer to 180, 190 different companies that eventually might be involved with this, even the personal companies of Sam Bankman-Fried. Because remember, those companies were directly listed to the corporate structure. These don't count personal companies and the likes involved with it. Okay, Sam Bankman-Fried has not filed for personal bankruptcy protection yet. So, and if he did, even the condos that's inside of, you see a number of condos, they said a number of assets here in the Bahamas has not been frozen because they were not part of the corporate structure. These were personal things. That's like the house that's listed for sale, the $40 million building that's listed for sale. And I understand there's other properties that may be acquired that was not part of FTX Property Holdings Limited or whatever the name is called. Okay, so all of those comes out of the Minard and Co. law offices. But the personal purchases are not part of that. Now, what we should be doing is the Prime Minister should have already assembled a team of individuals to find out how best to exploit this, to basically say we recognize what has happened and the deficiencies that we were lacking and that we would move to select them. Now, I am one to believe that we should say yes to digital assets and no to crypto. We cannot regulate crypto. How do you regulate something that is nowhere, yet everywhere, and that has no real assets? It has no assets. So if you come to me and I sell you a marble, I'm not required to keep the money from the marble in escrow because you bought the marble, no matter what you thought it was worth. So how do you substantiate putting deposits or holding on in reserves money for a fraud or a stupid purchase? You can't. Now, if I put some money in your account for other type of purchases and float within your account, that's a different question. And so a lot of little minor things that we somehow don't seem to understand how the CEXs work, which is the cryptocurrency exchanges, which is different than how cryptocurrency work in the decentralized marketplace. Cryptocurrency is a decentralized thought process, supposed to be. And essentially, the way CEXs or cryptocurrency exchanges came about was because even though you had in your digital wallet, I have a digital wallet, I really didn't trust that you were going to execute in the same amount of time and some delay in processing, whatever else. So you may have wired me your money and I didn't end up with my assets. And so essentially, they became men in the middle to make sure everything goes okay. And they kind of grew exponentially since then to start covering all kind of things, even the 99.99 fake assets on the exchange. Then came these derivatives and all kind of variation, yield farming, all kind of various variations that has been exploited. The problem is that there's no regulations in the world yet that actually regulates the technology, because essentially this is not in the normal realm of things that we think of regular exchanges where you buy some shares and you buy some stocks and you have the certificate and everything else. This is in a digital environment. This is why you had Sam Bankman-Fried got on Bloomberg TV and says, "Yes, this is a Ponzi scheme, but in the digital world, we don't look at it as a Ponzi scheme." That's his quote, practically in a nutshell, on Bloomberg TV. So, but in the real world, it is a Ponzi scheme, Because essentially when cryptocurrency was started, it was not, it was supposed to be a replacement for fiat. And somehow fiat became an exchange for it. So in essence, cryptocurrency in the purest sense have no value. However, digital assets, for multiple definitions that come under it, does hold a value. The Bahamas government need to leave digital, leave cryptocurrencies alone. It has no real value. It has no application. It brings no value to anywhere in any ecosystem except to separate banana plant suckers from their money.
Now, let me ask you this. I got this coming through on a text. See, Alan. Naughty, we can only be a joking nation. If this was a real country, all of his assets would have been frozen, correct? And I guess they would refer not to UC Allen, but if this was the real world, would everything be frozen and locked down right now until they could figure out what's going on? Or is
no,
that,
but
is
see,
that
the company's in liquidation. He's not.
Ah.
I don't think, see, so again, you know, what he puts in his personal assets name is not necessarily...
A lot of Bahamians, you know, and Joe Public is really asking the question, well, how come the police haven't, you know, picked him up? How come he hasn't been brought in? How come he hasn't been questioned?
Because
again, if this was in somewhere else in the world, they may not have done the freezing, but somebody was going to call him in and say, hey, let's have a conversation. What's going on here, bud?
Yeah, right. But he has the problem. I'm still amazed that they even imply that he should be. There has to be some virtual or some complainant that makes a complaint. It can't go on what the exchange, on what the regulator said. We heard something in the marketplace. They could have. I'm still perplexed on what is it they heard in the marketplace, because they came into this marketplace 4, 5, maybe 6 days later. Because this started, our regulators must be monitoring the global sphere. Because the question concerning Coinbase made was, I think, on the 2nd or something of that. Or this stuff like that should have alerted them. The problem is that in the Bahamas, you know, we work from 9 to 5. The rest of the world work 24 hours a day. And you know, and so when we enter the space, digital never close. Data never stops being created. And so we may not have the technological capability to monitor digital assets the way we want to. And one of the reasons is this, that you have to understand to basically have a digital exchange in the world, you have to have a law, you have to have legislation for transparency, legislation for accountability, a separate legislation for integrity, a separate legislation for anti-corruption, a separate legislation for freedom of information, a separate legislation for data, and a separate legislation for digital, among other things. These are all separate legislation. We just have to look and ask, where are these legislation that gives you access to be able to control and do data? We have no place in the Bahamas to manage data that we're supposed to be policing. How do you police the data that's on some server in Serbia or someplace else? How do you police it? How do you reach in? This is why when no matter what they did to him, he did not have access to the code. And even when it filed bankruptcy in the U.S., it seemed like it took a minute. Or even the trustee there, or the guy who was assigned by the court, to actually get control of the servers, to actually put a freeze to move the stuff into cold storage. The simplest term for the word cold storage is to disconnect the computers from the internet. Okay, so nobody can access it. It can't send out, go whatever. Because we saw, even though those servers was not in the Bahamas, people who had Bahamian accounts, whether they were in the Bahamas or not, but still access to the services to cash out. And so I think the Bahamas government need to stop pretending that we had the ability to regulate this. We somehow seem to just simply created a dare bill for registration of exchanges, et cetera, but not for the management and control of the digital processes that happens in the back. And the only way for that to happen is to do exactly the way they did with the gaming. Did they not make the gaming people bring their servers into the Bahamas? Because you can't, if a server's in the U.S., what authority do we have to go into the U.S. and seize any type of property or give them commands? We don't. And so, yes, we have our people talking heads. I see so many talking heads that really don't understand how the creation of data or currencies is made.
But that was my next question. I've seen a lot of debate and a lot of back and forth over this. I never knew we had so many crypto experts, you know, overnight on social media just pop up with the apps and all of this. It's such authority.
They ain't got no, but they're not even, they understand, they're not even computer experts, and they are now experts because crypto is built on top of technology expertise. So this is why it's so easy. If anybody comes to me, within 7 days, I can make them a crypto billionaire. $2,500, bring me your money, I'll make you a crypto billionaire. It's that easy. Now, you can't spend it unless you can find some people to buy those coins I make for you. I'll create them and I'll give them a value, whatever value you want.
I come in to see you next week. I want you to make a naughty coin. We're going to call it the naughty one, and it's worth $1 billion. How about that? Can we do that?
Yeah, you could. That's what I'm saying to you. I mean, we just had
And I'll wear it around my neck and all too. And just, you know, just for promotion and marketing. You know, but it's right here, $1 billion coin.
Hey, as long as people will accept it and pay for it, it's a legitimate coin.
Well, wherever they accept it and pay for it, I'll call you and Mr. Producer and the party starts. Because it'll be 5 o'clock somewhere.
But Naughty, the easiest way to make the value is very simple as this. You mint your coin. Let's say you mint 25 million coins, right? What you do is you sell me 10 million. And for $100 each, and then I can be like, Naughty, I don't have the $10 billion right now, so here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you a promissory note. And I give you a promissory note for the $10 billion. So now you go on all the Guardian Radio everywhere and promote that you have this new coin out. In fact, you just already sold $10 billion worth of it. Everybody jump on FOMO, fear of missing out. Really, Naughty coin worth that much? And they start sending the money to you. So when you make like $1 million, what you do is just live off the $1 million because you already know the coin ain't worth crap. And then what you do, Naughty, is then create a public wallet, transfer another $10 million into that public wallet, and then people will see your public wallet, but you have another 10 million coins, and knowing that it's selling for $100, they said, oh my God, Naughty's a billionaire, he's worth $10 billion.
Didn't Sam Bankman-Fried start off like that?
That's exactly what
happened. Well, I wound up like him. But let me ask you this question.
So, let me tell you what did, right? He started gambling with the cash rather than spending the float.
But check this out. I got a text for you real quick. CA is ignoring the fact that there are international companies. You cannot mandate that an international company have its server in country. Let's say you, C. Allen.
Nope. That's what I'm saying to you. We mandated that an international gaming operations for these guys, the gaming people didn't own those servers, but they got the people to put a copy of the server in the Bahamas just for them. In the same way, this is why I said to you, this is where the world is going to a data economy. There's no economy in the world, no country in the world that has a data economy that reaches across other jurisdictions. However, we can do the same because we can recognize through a ability of having a constitutional aspect of our laws by letting the people who owns the data become digital citizens. And we can mandate anything for our citizens, just like the GDPR code in England, whatever, in the UK says, if you have data on any of our citizens, this is the rules for governing it.
All right, C. Allen. Well, I appreciate your time, and we'll get together again next week, man. But I always appreciate your insight, and I will call you. Let's get that $1 billion coin going, man. We'll take a quick break. On the flip side of the break, we'll get right into the news, all right? And in the 5 o'clock hour, we're talking sports. This Talking Heads continues right after this.
Dunkin' lets the good vibes float with their new Blood Orange Refresher, bursting with flavor. Dunkin' Blood Orange Refreshers balance bold, sweet blood orange with tart cranberry and a hint of fall spices for a fun twist on a much-loved flavor. Served over ice with either green tea or coconut milk, Dunkin' Blood Orange Refreshers are loaded with B vitamins to keep you feeling renewed and refreshed. What are you waiting for? The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Do you want a chance to win one of 5 Yamaha Kryptonite scooters? Do you like the great taste of Frito-Lay chips? Well, all you have to do is purchase chips like Lay's, Doritos, and Cheetos at your favorite grocery store. And you can enter to win thanks to Frito-Lay and the Island Wholesale Scooter Giveaway Promotion. Want to know more? Join us at Value Depot, 20 Williams Drive, November 19th, this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for a chance to play Island Wholesale Shoot and Win Game for instant prizes and a chance to win one of 5 Yamaha scooters. Frito-Lay, distributed by by Island Wholesale.
George, Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online, www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live. At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and we set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Get a jump start on gifts at KFC this holiday season. This November, when you enjoy the craveable flavor of a KFC Meal Deal Mega or a Big Deal Mega, you can enter for a chance to win. KFC is giving away one MetaQuest 2 VR headset every week that can be yours by simply mega-sizing and entering your receipt. Enjoy your finger-licking good KFC chicken meal and enter the Metaverse, courtesy of KFC Nassau. It's finger-licking good!
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You all right? Boy, look here, we can get into the sports. But one of you, okay, Naughty, what was the answer for the trivia? All right, I'll tell you. Dolphins don't have belly buttons. They have blowholes. But if you want to know actually where the mammaries are, or the nipples, in the female dolphins, rectum, in the anus. Not anywhere else. That was your National Geographic moment. Google it. I'm telling you. I saw it, man. It came up in conversation in the green room at the comedy club. I won't tell you how we got onto that topic. But yeah. So you go have a look at that and we go from there. Naughty, when I become PM, I will let the opposition, if you all say anything opposing me for political point, I'll let them know that they're not patriotic. Anyway, you ain't got to worry about that because you ain't going to become prime minister. You ain't got to worry about that. We good. All right. Let's check out today in sports history as we set off the 5 o'clock hour, 5:07 p.m. Today in sports history, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. And don't forget, happy hour at Naughty Johnny's tonight, 5 to 7 going on right now. All right, well worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza, especially if you're in the West on a ride home. Stop on by, get one of those signature cocktails at happy hour. And, of course, see what they got on the menu because they got some scrumdiddlyocious cuisine down there at Naughty Johnny's. Give them a call, 377-7776. See what they got going on in Chef Tofoya at happy hour tonight at Naughty Johnny's. All right, on this day in sports history, November 16th in 1926, the New York Rangers played their first game in the NHL. They beat the Montreal Maroons 1-0. 1957, Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns set an NFL season rushing record of 1,163 yards after only 8 games. Wow, when you look at that, that's a lot of yards for 8 games, man. 1958, Bill Russell The Boston Celtics set a new NBA record when he got 32 rebounds in the first half of a game. 32 boards in the first half. Some dudes don't get 32 boards in a season. Some don't get 32 for a career. Some don't get 32 in a month. This dude had it in a half. 1969, U.S. President Nixon became the first president to attend a regular season National Football League game while in office. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Washington Redskins 41-28, like we always do. 1982, it was announced that the NFL and its players had a tentative agreement to end their 57-day strike. 1994, Major League Soccer announced that it would start its inaugural season in 1996. 1997, Morton Anderson of the New Orleans Saints became only the fifth player in the NFL history to reach 1,600 career points when he kicked an extra point. 1998, Roger Clemens of the Toronto Blue Jays became the first pitcher to win five Cy Young Awards. Sports quotes of the day, or sports quote of the day, when he says sit down, I don't even bother to look for a chair. Max McGee, Green Bay Packers receiver on coach Vince Lombardi. That's a wrap on Today in Sports History. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. All right, before we get up into the home court, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King National. Let's get Earl the Pearl in the studio. Pearly chiming in. What's going on, Pearly? We got Pearl in. He's not here yet. Look for him. He's on the way. You know what happened. He probably stopped at the air fryer. You know what's going on. It's an air fryer moment. And you know, Pearly is the master of the air fryer. He's got some great recipes. Listen, I saw a Mexican dude do chicharrones in the air fryer. Did the whole pork belly, seasoned it up, and man, look here, the skin and everything where they get the chicharron from, man, look it out there. That air fryer did damage.
Are you becoming an air fryer fanatic now, buddy?
Yes, I am. I'm coming to the Temple of Pearly, the air fryer guru, the air fryer Jedi. I'm thinking of joining the flock.
Okay. There are two types. There's some that shaped like the oven, and there's the other ones that look the baskets.
Yeah, the basket one. I saw a Mexican dude do a pork belly today, do the chicharrones in there. Oh my God, that looked good.
Good.
And it came up, the outer skin was crunchy. And when he cut it, it was tender and looked very juicy on the inside. He did it with the frijoles negros and the white rice and the you know, tomato salsa on the top. Looked really good, bro.
Sounds good.
So yes, I am going to join the air fryer brigade. As a matter of fact, we have a Christmas gift giving program with my in-laws because, you know, I married into a big family, me being the only child. So, you know, we have Christmas traditions and stuff, which I really like, which, you know, as an only child, you know, you know you're not brothers and sisters, so you don't do them kind of things. So this year, my wish list, everybody know whoever draw my name in the Secret Santa is an air fryer. That's what the naughty one wants. Air fryer.
So we have the same thing. My sisters, my mom, my kids, we do a Secret Santa as well. And last year, my son gave me an air fryer. So I was, you know, the year before that, my sister gave me a Keurig. That was pretty cool. So
You sound like you just get some good gifts, you know.
No, no. Everybody gets, you know, pretty good gifts. You know, you put your wish list out there. So the rule this year is like one sister's put like she just wants general gift certificate and stuff like that. The rule this year is no gift certificates. You have to buy gifts. So
there you go.
I can't say who need my help, but they may, you know, I don't
right.
want, you know,
nobody don't mess it up.
Tell nobody. Yeah.
But listen,
but it's gonna be interesting.
This is something we got to talk about, Pearly. And we're going to get into what we get into in you know, who's in and who's out. As far as, you know, we got some basketball news to talk about, some you know, hot stove news out of baseball to talk about. And then, obviously, we got some other things to talk about.
Okay.
And I think Theodore is supposed to be joining us today. If not today, tomorrow.
Who?
Theodore. BBA, Teddy Sweden, Bahamas Baseball Association.
I know because the rosters should have been submitted yesterday, the 15th.
Right.
And anxious to see. So, yeah, he needs to call in soon.
So if you don't talk to Teddy today, we'll talk to Teddy tomorrow. But I know.
Definitely.
I know he's supposed to powwow with him. And he's supposed to chime in. So I'll look out for the call, or I'll look out for the Zoom. And if not today, tomorrow. I think it's one of them. We talk. I think it's for tomorrow.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be wonderful.
But here's the deal. Oh God, here we go. We got to talk about this. The Bahamian women pull out of Central Basket. The Bahamas senior women's national basketball team has been forced to pull out of the FIBA Central Basket Women's Championship, which they qualified for because of lack of funds, Pearly.
Not again.
And this is really what galls me and what burns me, okay? You have a national team that qualified. These aren't private leagues. These aren't independent leagues. These aren't public leagues. This is a national team, for God's sake. And if we could spend $4.2 million in 3 months, not to politicize it, but let's be real. If we could spend $4.2 million in 3 months, $1.4 million a month average, on taking entourages to the world, we can't afford to fund a national team that qualified for Central Basket? Why don't you just cut down the fluff?
Wouldn't that be a way of promoting the Bahamas to the world?
Exactly. And wouldn't that, if you cut down some of the fluff, if you cut out some of the fluff, okay, then you could probably afford to send this team off.
All right.
And obviously we haven't, because we still got trips we plan in here and there and everywhere, but we have a team that qualified for Central Basket, and they can't go.
They're officially pulled out.
Story by Simba French in today's Guardian. Months after qualifying for the FIBA International Basketball Federation Central Basket Women's Championship Mexico 2022, the Bahamas senior women's national basketball team is forced to pull out due to lack of funds. They officially withdrew from the tournament on Monday. The Bahamas was set to take on some of the top teams from the Caribbean and Central American region from November 23rd to the 27th in Chihuahua, Mexico. There you have it. Absolutely disgraceful.
Oh, boy.
Now, if any of these members of this team, and some of these team members have signed some nice college scholarships, potential WNBA players in the future, or definitely in Europe for sure, if the Bahamas reaches out to them and they tell the Bahamas to kick rocks, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
This is an utter disgrace.
I'm very disturbed by this.
This is a disgrace.
You know, but I'm gonna be the I'm gonna take the high road here. I'm gonna be the independent party person, yeah. And I'm gonna say this: is this something that we knew was coming up? And what efforts has the Bahamas Basketball Federation Association has done to get these people off? And have they tried and failed? Have they had fundraisers? Or are they just sitting back waiting on the government's ears? You know, I'm a stickler for not relying on the government 100%.
No, but Earl, hear me. Listen,
Let me tell this piece. I am taking in mind that the pandemic would have stopped a lot of fundraising efforts and stopped, so you might need more help from the government. So I would like to get a understanding from the Basketball Federation what happened as to why what happened to the fundraising effort. Would they promise something before I go and throw big rock? That's all I say.
All right. Well, here's the way I see it. If it's a regular, if it's a league, you know what I mean? And it's a semi-private league, if it's a public league, it's some partial funding, but I get it. But this is a national team, Pearly. This is a national
team. Yes,
it is. This is a national team.
Yeah,
so
no. I understand what I'm saying, Naughty. The government, Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture should assist. But what I am saying is, it should not be on the government to fully fund to fully fund that team's trip. And I see, I got to be fair in saying this.
A national team?
Let me tell you why I have to be fair in saying why I'm saying this. I remember when the Honorable Anisha Roll was Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, and the B3As got on her for not coming up with six figures, a considerable amount of money to help the team. And I defended her. And a lot of people said I defended her because of my political allegiance. But no, it wasn't about that. It was about believing what I'm saying today is what I said. Then she was there. And what I'm saying now when Brother Boleg is there. I think Brother Boleg is the minister, right? Is there.
Right.
It should not be on him. It should not be on him to find all the money. Yes, if you fall short and you need help, he should be able to come in and throw that little piece in to help. But we cannot rely on the government to send our full team. And so if there's some problems that happen, I would like to know where did the Bahamas Basketball Federation fall short. I can't let you blame the government. I can't
all
let
right,
you do that.
All right, Pearly, you could say how you feel. That's fine. But you cannot yeah. tell me I can't do something because you and you know what you tell me.
No,
when you tell me
like
I can't do something,
yeah.
you know what I can do.
I know. When I say you can, that's my figure speech.
I know. But listen, this is the way I genuinely see it, okay? I get that. And I'll tell you, I'm a fundraiser for Freedom Farm. If we go and we say, look, there's a travel budget for 16U, 14U, and 12U. We need $100,000 to take these three teams off the international tournament. And the league and the government say, well, we can't cover the whole thing, but we'll meet with your shortage. You know what I mean? So your target is to get $50,000 or $60,000. So then it's on us as the league to go get that money. Now we can come back and say, okay, we raised our portion. You're going to match the difference. Okay, here we go. We go into the trip. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. And if you don't put no effort in and you don't raise no money for your league, you can't go put your hand out to the government. No, I get that. Now, that's on public leagues, private leagues, local leagues. National teams, I don't care who, what, why, when, or where. If that team qualified and we're in, that team needs to go. We need to bite the bullet, dig in the pocket as an administration, and fund this team to get where they need to be. There's no way, shape, or form a team that qualified that represents us with our flag on their back to the world should go through this. And that's just the way I see it. We could agree to disagree, and it's all good. I still love you, big bro, but I feel like you should step in and take care of it.
I understand your point, and I understand you saying national team, and that's fine. All I'm saying is the national team is appointed by the Bahamas Basketball Federation, or so whatever we call it. I don't want to mess up that name, and I do apologize if I'm calling it the wrong name.
I think it's the Bahamas Basketball Federation.
Okay, so the Bahamas Basketball Federation is the governing body of basketball in the country, correct?
Correct.
All right. So they know what international tournaments that they're going to be picking a national team from, and most of the national team members are picked from either collegiate, professional, or local players. Boom. All of them. I mean, that's the three areas.
All right,
So all I'm saying is this. The Bahamas Basketball Federation know what the schedule is. They know when this tournament is. 2, 3, 4, 5 years in advance. You set your budget, you plan. If you fall short on getting enough money from corporate Bahamas, then the government puts the rest. And I believe that for national teams, for every team that goes. I don't think the government should sponsor any private teams. I think if Buttons formal will,
watch it now. Thomas, my boy, you know he's been moonlighting on the locker room.
I just trying to do that. I at least said that name because that's the only name I know right now, top of my head. No disrespect to Tommy. You know, I Tommy like a brother. If Joe, all right, let me rephrase it. If my boy team from the league decided they want to go play in one of their church league tournament in Florida or something, I don't think the government should give them $1 for that. That on y'all.
Correct.
Well, because if I give to you, I got to give to all. I don't think the government should give to any of them. I think the government should be there to back up, to support and help when the national team falls short, but not finance the full team. Because that makes, if the government is there to finance the full team, it makes the leagues them lazy. And they can sit back and rely on the government for every time.
All right. Let me get to the text lines, Pearly. Naughty, respectfully speaking, there's no reason for this team to go out and seek sponsorship. They are representing the country. And if they win, then watch how the government will come clapping them up and hugging them up and photo-opping them up. But the government traveling everywhere on the public purse, and this team cannot travel. Sucking my teeth. All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Listening to the conversation, I am a parent of persons who have represented the country. And I respectfully disagree with your co-host because...
Okay, ma'am, let me just... Let me just make sure you are respectfully disagreeing with Pearlie, right? And let me slide on the side. Pearlie, the floor is yours.
Coming from somebody who's on the inside looking out,
yes, ma'am.
I can say,
yes, ma'am.
Watching the budget, watching that when they did the new budget and revamped it, travel went up by $5 million. It was something else, and they increased it by $5 million. When they took the contingent to Dubai, when they went wherever else, when they went to Egypt the other day,
COP 27,
there was no, oh, that's sponsor for those who cannot go. Everyone went on the public's purse. You have a contingent of women, and some of which are high schoolers, who would have qualified, already been out to practice 7 to 10 o'clock in the night when some of them should have been in their book, making the sacrifice. And then you turn around and do not support them. We support everything else. Why not support them? It is unfair. And guess what? When these young women and college ladies snub the country, people suck their teeth and they get angry. But this is the reason why. No allegiance is shown to them when they come out night after night. Some of those women come from work, leave their families, come to practice for 3 hours. And you want them to now figure out how they are going to sponsor to represent a country that has the money?
I think I need to rephrase what I'm saying. I think you're misunderstanding where I'm coming from. And I want to say this. No team should ever be left behind. Let me say that. Let me get that first clear. No team. All I'm saying is, and I think the government should support every national team. Yes, the government should support every national team. All I'm saying is, I don't believe that the government should pay 100% of the trip.
Why not?
I don't think that. Let me finish, ma'am. Let me finish. Let me tell you why. I'm going to back up why I'm saying this. Let me understand what I'm saying now. Ma'am, just hear me. Just give me 2 seconds. I'll let you talk. Let me first say this. I'm 152,000,000% against the kind of money the government spending for travel. Let me put that out there right now. I don't disagree with the government going on trips to do things. I just disagree with the size of the contingents that go. I disagree with the amount of money they're spending on travel. Let me put that out there clear. So let's get that out there very, very clear. All I'm saying is, and understand why I'm saying that I don't think the government should pay 100%. I don't think the athletes should have anything to do with trying to travel. All they should do is practice and play. The athletes should never have to worry how they're traveling. I think when you take up the responsibility to be a president of an association, that is your job to ensure that you govern the league properly and you prepare the national teams and make sure they travel. So you should make an effort to raise funds, but the government should support you. I just don't think the government should come up at 100%. And why I say that is because there are many teams, national teams we have, and the government should find an even balance of funds to make sure every team travels. Every national track and field, water polo, baseball, basketball.
Yes.
However, I still think that the association should make an effort to raise funds. That's all.
What the government wants to prioritize. It comes down to prioritization. When we went to Jamaica in April, they took the big Junkanoo contingent. Then when we looked at the politician contingent, people came on the government's purse. Let me tell you something. I'm not asking you. I am telling you, because I am the parent who supports the child. There is just no way we should be allowed to pull out from something where persons have been practicing for weeks, all through the night.
I think we all want the same thing.
Hold on, Brent. Let her finish because it's breaking up.
At the end of the day, you're leaving a bad taste in your athlete's mouth. And when those kids or adults go off and they decide that they're going to denounce their country and represent somewhere else, don't talk about them. Don't talk about them because they're not getting a fair shake now. Now, whether you want to say it from the Federation end or from the government end, believe it or not, those are hand in hand because the Federation comes underneath the government. And ergo, if the government wanted to help, they would.
Ma'am, I am agreeing with you 100%, you know. I am on your side. They should. I am appalled. I'm angry that this team is not traveling. I want every national team to travel, and I think the government should have kicked in to help them. The Federation, so I am not going to, that's what I'm saying is I don't want to blame the government alone for them not traveling. I need to know what went wrong on the Federation.
Pearly, I just want to let you know, when it comes to that one, according to the callers, naughty one, Pearly zero. I'm only joking.
Naughty. But that's what we get. With the callers, and I'm fine.
No, but I
want the callers to do understand what I'm saying.
All right.
Want every team to travel. I want the government to assist every team. My only difference is I do not believe that the government should spend 100%.
Right, and I think you made that point clear.
I think the Federation needs to be responsible for some portion of it. Whether it's 25%, whether it's 50%, whatever that amount is, I think the Federation has to have some responsibility. That's all.
I get where you're coming from. You made it abundantly clear. I appreciate where the caller came from, too. That was a good call, ma'am. Don't let it be the first and last time you call
a
show. I appreciate the contributions.
Oh, that's a wonderful call. And as a parent.
Right.
Who sponsors an athlete. My hat's off to her.
That's
a fantastic lady.
That's where I get where she's coming from, not only as a youth coach, but as a parent who has kids that play a new sport. So I get where she's coming from totally.
I understand that point.
Let's get back to the phone line. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this? Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this? All right, patient. If we don't answer you like right away, that's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They'll figure it out.
The producers should check see if they stay on before you put them through.
No, Wally checking them now with the phone blowing up. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Mr. Naughty, how are you?
What's going on, my brother? Who's this?
You don't know?
It's breaking up, man. Kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, make sure you hear that this is the minister.
Okay, which minister?
Youth, Sports, and Culture.
Oh, then this Mr. Boleg, how are you?
I am very good.
Please bring us up to snuff. What's happening?
I am listening to this interesting conversation, and everybody has their own opinion on what they think the government should do. I want the nation to know I sit in the chair as the president of the Bahamas Basketball Federation. And now I also sit in the chair as the minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture.
So,
over the years, the federations were receiving from the government subvention of $20,000. Since this government has come in power, we've increased those A-certified sports disciplines to $80,000, back to what it used to be in 1991 before the government changed in 1992. There is no way that the government can 100% finance any federation. That's why ministries has a budget. When we get our budget, each federation is allocate a certain amount of funding plus extra funding when they need special grants for travel. The Bahamas Basketball Federation senior man team been playing basketball over the last couple of months, right or wrong? Wasn't they playing?
You're correct, okay. Yes.
So the government would have given the Basketball Federation the necessary funding. We don't fund teams. We fund federation. We fund the Basketball Federation. We fund track and field. We fund the Swimming Federation, the Hockey Federation. When we give them money, it's up to the executive to utilize that funding to what they deem is most important or necessary for them at that time. It is not because the government didn't assist. They didn't travel.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Minister. And I hear where you're coming. Okay, go ahead.
They didn't travel because it was a decision made by the executives of the Federation who believed at that time that the funding that they have needed to be used to take care of some outstanding expense that they have. They could have very well made a decision if they wanted to or not to send that team. So when the government gives Federation funding, that's up to them, and they also responsible for also going out there and talking to corporate sponsors. The budget for the Bahamas Basketball Federation is more than $250,000 a year. And the government just increased their grant from $20,000 to $80,000. That's significant. Understanding that all federations, you check the B3As. I heard someone talk earlier about Carissa. ERISA is a budgeted item that is accepted every year and is budgeted for in my ministry. So when ERISA comes along, we know if it costs $300,000, we already had that in the budget. What happens with these squatting disciplines, these same squatting disciplines, if you advance, you cannot annually set a budget for them, because as they advance, they then continue to bring on more expense. And so it's up for them to know that, hey, I'm guaranteed a certain amount from the government. Now it's time for me to go and find that rest, because when I do go back to the government will provide. And you think I just coming out of the chair of the president of the Basketball Federation didn't do anything to assist the federation?
So, Minister, sounds like I was pretty much moving in the right direction of what I was saying then.
You are quite correct.
Okay.
Wow, the red and the yellow state agree on something. There you go.
No. Now, hold on. Let me come down and play down in the middle. Now, Mr. Bullock, can I talk on my own show now?
I am listening.
Because I think you was mistaking this for the House just a minute ago.
No, man.
And I ain't no madam speak up in here. I am the judge up in here. Why don't you back in the corner and go check your air fryer? Because I appreciate what the minister has to say. All right? And thank God for making Pearly feel like he was right for once in a long time, Minister. I appreciate that also. Now, here's the question I have for you. Two parts. I remember previously that the men's team had some funding issues and the gap was filled. Am I not correct?
Listen, the Federation received funding this week.
No.
That's all I got to say.
But I'm asking them to hold on now. How about your legacy as the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture? You was a man who loved basketball. You can't tell me you don't love basketball. You're a coach. Hold on. You're a coach. Let me finish, Pearly. No.
The minister said the Federation executives made the decision,
Pearly,
not to go on the
trip.
Not to go on the trip because they want to pay some other bills.
Will you let me finish making my point, Pearly? You don't know what my point is. So allow me to make it, please. With all due respect. Back to what I was saying to the minister. With all due respect, sir, and you know you're a friend, and I'm not even trying to give you a hard time. But wouldn't it be a great feather in your cap and part of your legacy where you're so well-renowned for basketball and being such a prolific winning coach and loving the game of basketball and wanting to create opportunities for future generations of basketball players in this country, especially when you look at the female side of the ball, because that sport is not as well participated in as the men, but we have some really good, talented female players. Wouldn't this be a great feather in your hat and your legacy to step in and make sure that team got there? And then read the Federation's The Riot Act, put your size 14 in the backside and tell them get it better for next go around. It's the last time you're ever doing it. But at the end of the day, these girls who put in the work could represent the country like that's what they wanted to do. And they still had that opportunity. Wouldn't that be a great legacy in your cap?
I can say this to you again, my good friend. We've given the Basketball Federation funding. The decision for them to move forward and allow that team to play was not the government's decision. That was a decision made by the Bahamas Basketball Federation. Funding was made available for the Federation upon their request. They decide what they need to do with the funding and what they deem most important at this time. And I leave it just like that.
That is where it will stay. But at the end of the day, moving forward now, I'm going to pay a very close attention at the beginning of every year when the budgets are given out to these leagues, who get what and what get who, so we can't have no more crying.
No, all of them are quite aware of what they're getting. And so you guarantee something. I mean, I'm not knocking the president executive team, because a part of them, all of them came from under me, prior to me moving from there. But what has to happen is when I was there, we did our endeavor best to go to corporate sponsor. We had a $250,000 3-year deal with Bahama. When we was with the Marriott, we had a $125,000 3-year deal for the women's program at the Marriott. I had a $250,000 3-year deal for the senior men at Bahama. We had some sort of agreement with Atlantis. So, over the years, at one point in time, we had a $100,000 for a three-year period at BTC, we must go to a corporate sponsor and sell ourselves on why is it they should sponsor us when we are in charge of these national federations. Because we all know, those who are in any federation will tell you, that the government will never 100% finance any federation. We don't have the type of money. And so I would say this, in not too long future, or not too distant future, there will be discussions made on how we could resolve this funding problems for sports. But I wouldn't go in no detail with that right now, but at this very present moment, we must find corporate sponsors to assist.
You gotta let the police finish, boss.
I preach for years. That is something I wholly believe in, and I support that 100%. Because it has to be a dual effort. And some of the interpretation. You come to me, say, "I need $50 of gas to light on my car." I give you the $50 of gas, but on your way, you stop by 700 miles and get a 40 ounce of JD. Then come back to me and say, "Wait, I need
Now, with all due respect, that's not the example I'm giving her. Because we all know that when it comes to sponsorship and finding sponsors, I don't have no problem with that. Listen to my show. Stop.
Allow
me to finish.
No, I understand.
So I get the point with sponsorship, and I know how to find that sponsorship, and I know leagues, if they did it creative, could find that sponsorship as well. But at the end of the day, my point still is, it's the athletes I'm talking about. The athletes who put the blood, sweat, and tears in. The athletes who at some point will represent this country at the collegiate level, so on and so forth. And like the caller said, if they get snubbed, it's a combination of federation and it's a combination of what they perceive and the perception. And I get the perception and I appreciate the minister calling in so we don't have that misconception of what's going on. Leagues need to fund themselves. We get it. And the government will only do X amount. And if they mess up that bottom line, fine. I get all of that. But I also get, we turn a blind eye to a lot of things. We make exceptions for a lot of things politically here in this country. So why not make an exception for this and let the girls play basketball?
It wasn't.
But naughty. It's still.
Man, Paddy, I hear from you every day. Let me hear from the minister.
No, because once you don't go to the next level to play, that means you got to go backwards to try again. You know, so I'm just saying that it is not that the government did not want it to assist or did not assist. Like I said, funding was received this week.
But that's fine.
If you make a decision as an executive, what you think is best for your federation, then that's what the decision is. It has nothing to do with the government trying to assist them with any funding.
All right.
They receive money.
But let me let you take some text there, Minister. I mean, I appreciate you calling in. It was impromptu, but I appreciate it. But in for a penny, in for a pound, since I got you, let me take some text off the lines. Here's one for you. It says, Naughty, the bottom line is the team is not going. The minister is saying the corporate sponsors have to step up, but they're busy at the end of the day. The team is not going, and that to me is a national embarrassment. This is not passing the smell test. This sounds like there's a personality issue at play. No, I don't think it's a personality issue at play. The minister, now hold on. I can't let you say that either, because the minister took time out to call in, unsolicited, to break it down for us, which I appreciate, because a lot of people don't know this, and I'll make the disclaimer now. Very long time friend. Good friend. So I ain't gonna let nobody beat up on the minister either. I could beat up on him, but y'all can't beat him because that's my boy. So I said that to say this. It's nothing personality here. It's good old dollars and cents and business management and managing your league funds. And you're talking to someone in Minister Boleg who's worn the hat as the president of the association and the federation and now the minister. So please, I don't think he's going to come on national radio and be disingenuous.
I agree with you, Naughty.
I mean,
Naughty, let me ask you this question.
When last have you seen a basketball national team did not travel?
Not for a while. I mean, I've seen them all travel. I have not seen one travel. I agree with you. They've all traveled.
Oh, so again, and I'm not showing shade to the president executives and the president who was president in the chair are my former executives that I left there. What I'm saying is, they as their new leaders, they have to look at their financial situation and make a determination that they think is best for them at this time. Now, I do believe in their mindset, they felt it would have been in the best interest for the Federation based on, I guess, their financial situation, even though providing they would have had some funding and looking at the expense that they would have encountered because of the senior man team or any previous team prior in the last 6 to 8 months, probably would have put them in a financial position. I don't know their financial position. I'm only stating that. And so for a reason, they probably would have made that decision because sending the women support for them would probably be putting themselves in a deeper hole financially.
So I think,
and so they would have made that decision based on how they think they need to move forward.
Well, I feel like
I understood a week ago, I mean, with the senior man team, that they didn't want to play those games either. But having a conversation and called in a meeting by the international body, they were told that they didn't play the two games that we just finished playing over the weekend, that they would have been suspended for 7 years and fined $250,000. So they had to play the game.
Now, what I'm getting from this, Minister Boleg, and I appreciate the insight, I'm thinking that a lot more leagues need to take their league business more serious than they do. Because you got to be able to know, like you said, if we're going to play in this tournament, it's going to cost us this much, then we need to focus on that tournament, especially if the team's qualified. Now, if it's a process of the team having to qualify and go through those kind of hurdles before they get there, and then maybe that's a look to say, okay, maybe we're not going to participate this year because of funding at the inception. You can't let them go to a certain point and then hope the government going to fill the gap or somebody going to blind you the rest of the way. So I think it's been good for some clarity. The moving forward, leagues need to be more diligent and more prudent with their funding. And obviously, we need to go after more corporate sponsors because at the end of the day, the government can only do so much, especially if they're given an annual stipend to the leagues, correct?
Yeah, but I personally, I'm very disappointed, again, like I say, as not only as a minister, but as someone who loved the game of basketball, that they was not able to attend. But I do understand that when persons are in position of authority, sometimes they just got to make a tough decision. And only the executives themselves can answer why they make such a tough decision. But I don't say it was the wrong one. I only just say they made the decision that they felt was best for them at that time.
And at this time, you know, the government is not in a position to do anything more, correct?
Well, I think that the funding they would have received should have been quite sufficient to assist the team. But again, I don't know their financial position. I've spoken to the president. He said, based on the financial situation, he don't think it would have been in his best interest to send the team. So I don't know his financial position.
Now,
despite receiving funding this week,
I have a text that says, can the ministry address these kind of issues within leagues, so that we won't have these issues moving forward that will hamper national events and national team traveling?
What we have done for my signature was to try to encourage the youth federations to empower themselves, make sure they're self-sufficient. There's millions of ways for these federations to gain revenue. I think the Basketball Federation is doing a great job. For example, they receive some sort of funding from the sanctioning fees from these international tournaments that are being played here. So they do have extra revenue that, again, is coming in along with whatever grants they get from the government. So they themselves, which is quite capable of managing their funding and knowing the situation and knowing what they guarantee each year outside of corporate funding. And so knowing, again, as the men continue to advance to qualify for the world. The men's tournament is a lot of money. I can tell you, every time you see those men team play, that could run you into $60,000, $70,000 a game, especially when they're traveling. And so I understand that the Federation has some tall expenses that they must manage, and they got to do what is best for them than to put themselves in a hole and they can't get out of it. So, you know, I've been there, so I understand some of their situation. But they made a decision, in my opinion, I think that was best for them and managing the Federation moving forward to that they felt would put them in a better position financially to move forward, I guess, when it comes back around to the senior women. And it's all about continuous planning. So the senior man takes a lot out of them.
They swallowed the tough pill now so that they could have some success in the future, possibly, with this female program.
Right. Even though it, many people would disagree with it. I mean, it's just like in government, sometimes you make a decision. People may disagree with it. But if you don't understand the real, true, nitty-gritty or ins and outs of the present position or why the decision is made, then you can only voice your opinion. And sometimes that the fact is just not really good for everybody else.
Well, Minister, I appreciate you being so candid and chiming in. It was impromptu, but I appreciate it now. You can't let this be the last time now. You know, when I call you and tell you, come on now, you got to come. I can't let you just, you know, I can't beat up my gum and bait you onto the show. If that's what I got to do, I'll do it. But I prefer if you could just set it up and get you on again, because it has been candid and very insightful, and I do appreciate you reaching out to me. All right?
Yeah, anytime, man. I got to make sure your show get the fuck.
Yeah, man, you don't worry about the rest of them. Just worry about me. I appreciate that, man. And you know I got you. Whatever you need, whatever message you need to get out, you have a platform here. You know that. And I appreciate you being candid. And I appreciate you making Pearly feel like the smartest guy in the room today, man. That don't happen much around here.
All right, my brother. Take care.
I appreciate you, man.
Take care.
Pearly, man, mark it up on the wall, man. One for Pearly today, Mr. Producer. And coming up out of the break, we got the final 10 today. We got plenty to talk about tomorrow because we got a great show and an impromptu call from the Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, Mr. Mario Bolle, which we greatly appreciate.
If you'd like to make a call.
So we got the final. We got this week's Stardom on Sitting with Sports Illustrated coming up out of the break. Pearly, we up out of here. We'll talk tomorrow, man. And I'll send you the Air Fried Fire links. So you tell me which one to get, okay?
All right, no problem.
Go to the head of the class, Pearly. Score one for Sock today. Sock is the winner.
I'm going to set a sign on the wall and wait for you, all right?
It's time to say hello to finger-licking good KFC Bites. KFC Chicken Bites are freshly hand-breaded bites of premium white meat, seasoned with the Colonel's original recipe of 11 herbs and spices. These boneless KFC Bites are made by the fried chicken experts and include your choice of mango habanero, buffalo, barbecue, honey mustard, ranch, or special KFC sauce for that grown-up taste you'll enjoy. Dip, dip, hooray! KFC Bites, it's finger-licking good.
George, Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online, www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances, so come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. Until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agency.
the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Dunkin' lets the good vibes float with their new Blood Orange Refresher, bursting with flavor. Dunkin' Blood Orange Refreshers balance bold, sweet blood orange with tart cranberry and a hint of fall spices for a fun twist on a much-loved flavor. Served over ice with either green tea or coconut milk, Dunkin' Blood Orange Refreshers are loaded with B vitamins to keep you feeling renewed and refreshed. What are you waiting for? The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Pumped for pumpkin? Indulge your pumpkin passion with Dunkin's Pumpkin Spice Flavored Coffees. Enjoy a Dunkin' Pumpkin Spice Signature Latte made with rich espresso, pumpkin spice, and vanilla flavors, all topped with whipped cream, caramel drizzle, and cinnamon sugar. Or try the new Nutty Pumpkin Coffee, combining Dunkin' Original Blend Coffee, hazelnut flavor, a delicious pumpkin spice swirl, and cream for a delicious nutty twist. Available hot or cold, Dunkin' offers the ultimate pumpkin coffee experience. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Play with Island Games.
We're making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We're paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You get cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is pricey, and pricey is tradition.
So when you
play Island Games,
we're putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Get a jump start on gifts at KFC this holiday season. This November, when you enjoy the craveable flavor of a KFC Meal Deal Mega or a Big Deal Mega, you can enter for a chance to win. KFC is giving away one MetaQuest 2 VR headset every week that can be yours by simply mega-sizing and entering your receipt. Enjoy your finger-licking good KFC chicken meal and enter the Metaverse, courtesy of KFC Nassau. It's finger-licking good!
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Always on the go? Missed the show?
You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.